Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dimon, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another installment here of Reading the Word with me, Justin Reed. It has made my afternoon that you've decided to spend about 15 minutes with me in study and devotion of God's Word. Friends, we're finishing up our study. At least that's kind of my plan for this episode. We're looking at faith is the victory. And we've already looked at how faith is the victory. Now we're closing it out. It's faith is the victory, how? That we overcome the world. We've looked at how God gives us the power. We've looked at how faith gives us the victory. Then last week, we ended our lesson with the fact that the world illustrates, shows, illuminates for us the alternative. And that's the only place you can find where you see the alternative of not following the Word of God. And if you've missed any lesson in this series, they're all archived on my website, and they're for free. You can download them, share them with anybody that you love or needs to hear it. www.thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. That's thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. Let's finish this up here. We've looked at the world shows us the alternative. Now here is our fourth point in overcoming the world. That's the results of overcoming, and that gives us the motivation. In other words, what we see, the results on the other side of this, that's what motivates you, and that's what motivates myself to overcome. Let's look at a couple of passages here in Revelation. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7 is where we will begin this study. Revelation 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Watch this. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." To him that overcometh, he may eat of the tree of life. Drop down to verse 11. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh, he will not be hurt of the second death," or that eternal separation between God and man. Keep going. Chapter 3. And verse 5, where Jesus says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment." And watch this, he will not be blotted out. His name will not be blotted out of the book of life. But Jesus says, "I will confess his name before my fathers and before his angels." So he will not blot his name out of the book of life. His name will be confessed before the Father, which I can think of a few things that would be greater than that, and also in front of the angels. One more passage in Revelation 3, it's found in verse 21. We see another result is to sit with the Father. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." So we see out of Revelation 2 and 3, you'll get to eat of the tree of life. You'll not be hurt of the second death. Your name will not be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. You can sit with the Father. We'll throw one more in from Revelation chapter 21, then we will progress in our lesson. And that's found in Revelation 21 and verse 7. And I even have this underlined in my copy of God's Word. I would recommend if you write or underline or make notes in your Bible, I would recommend this verse be underlined in yours as well. John says by inspiration, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Friends, I want you to watch this. We can have confidence. Faith is the victory that does what? Overcomes the world. I want you to note something about having confidence. John 16:33 is where we began this study, where Jesus Christ says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me," he says, "you might have peace. In the world," he says, "you're going to have tribulation." Watch this. "But be of good cheer." But always is a conjunction joining two thoughts. Every time we read it in the Bible, I want your mind to instantly go, that is a change. Okay? So, "but," he says, "be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Jesus says he's already overcome the world. How? He defeated Satan when he died upon that cross for our sins. He fulfills the first messianic prophecy found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Friends, you can have confidence. Imagine this. You're the best basketball player in the world, and you are about to play the worst basketball player in the world, known as me, Justin Reed. If you would go into the game with a mindset, what? That you've already won. Let me tell you something about me. My favorite game show of all time is Jeopardy. When I worked in Murfreesboro, I would take off work an hour early on Wednesdays, and my reasoning to the boss was I needed time to get home so I wouldn't be rushed for midweek Bible services, which is not a lie. Really, it was so I could get home in time. If I got off at 4 instead of 5, I could make it home, watch Jeopardy, and then I could get ready for Bible study. But I want you to imagine it this way. You're playing Final Jeopardy, or you're playing Jeopardy, and I mean, man, it has been every category. You knew all of them in Potpourri, and you got all the ones that start with S. I mean, you got every category right, and you're getting ready to go into Final Jeopardy, imagine this, with $32,000. $32,000. And you're over here on the left, well, watching, you're on the left, you're on the far right, but you're watching on the left. The person to your left, they have $1,400, and the person to their left has $600. I love it when that happens. Why? Because you're going to go into the last round with the thought, I don't even have to answer this last question, whether I know what it is or not, because even if the person doubles his money and goes from $1,400 and you double that to almost $3,000, they're not going to win because you have $32,000. Friends, that's the same kind of confidence that we have in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he says, I've already overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I've already won. That is the thesis thought. That is the main driving thought behind the book of Revelation. And so many people don't want to study it because they say it's so confusing and I don't understand all the symbolism and this, that, or the other. But friends, the main point of the book is that Jesus Christ has already won the victory. And if you are on his team, then you've already won the victory. You just still have to fight the battle. That's what I think of every time I watch Jeopardy or every time I read John 16:33, or it's quoted or I see it somewhere where he says, be of good cheer. Why be of good cheer, Jesus? He says, I've already won. He says, I have overcome the world. Not I will, not I might, not it looks good if I do it this way or that way. He says, I have overcome the world. Friends, we can only have that level of confidence only and only if we're in Jesus Christ. The world, it cannot offer this level of confidence. So why would you be on any other team except for the team that Jesus Christ is its head and captain? I don't know, but many people in this world are on that team. Friends, it is not too late if you're still living to join the team of Christ. What we're going to have to do, and I'm over time for the break, if you'll stay with us on the other side of this break, we're going to wrap up our lesson and talk about a little more things from the Bible here on Reading the Word with Justin Reed.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And we are back here on Reading the Word. We're going to finish up our installment here of Overcoming the World. Friends, we've talked about how faith is the victory. We have talked about how God gives us the power. We've talked about how faith gives us the victory. We've talked about how the world shows us the alternative, and now we're finishing up. We're talking about the results of overcoming. Friends, that's what gives us our motivation, because we've already seen the end. If we are on the team of Jesus Christ, then we have already won, no matter what the world may say. Friends, do we truly desire these wonderful blessings? Despite the awfulness of this world, are we holding true? Do you despise the wickedness of the world? I do. Do you desire to be victorious through faithful living? Friends, if you're not, let this be a wake-up call. Be faithful to the Lord. Do we desire to have God's power in our lives? I hope so. If so, friends, let me tell you how you can overcome the world. And it's very simple. You do it by God's power, by our victorious faith, by rejecting the alternative, and by allowing the results of victory to motivate us. Faith is the victory that does what? It overcomes the world, and we only have faith through the Word of God, Romans 10:17, and through Jesus Christ, that's the only way of access to the Father, John 14:6, and faith is the only thing in this life that truly does give us the victory. By the way, if you have missed any of the installments in this lesson series, and I have enjoyed presenting them to you, I hope you have enjoyed listening to them. friends. They're available for free on my website, www.thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword, thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. Reading the Word with me, Justin Reed. Now, friends, for the time that we have remaining, I just want us to think about one thing here in this life, and it is change. It is change. You know, they often say that change is inevitable. No matter, it seems like as soon as you know where things are in a grocery store, what do? They change it up on you. As soon as you kind of get a morning routine down, it's changed. Maybe you have different hours at work or whatever the case may be. Change is inevitable, I would add to that quote, except from vending machines. It seems like you just never get that change back that you want. Friends, I want us to think about change, because in a world where things are changing every single moment, I want us to look very quickly here at what does not change. One of my favorite passages in the entirety of the Old Testament is found in the second to last chapter of the Old Testament. I'm talking about the Old Testament prophet Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, and I like it so much I have it underlined, and then I also like it so much on the very first page where my Bible says, the Holy Bible, King James Version, I wrote Malachi 3, 6, and out beside it I wrote, God does not change. Watch what God says. God says, I am the Lord. And he says, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What does God say at the end of the Old Testament? He says, I do not change. I am not going anywhere. Well, let's take that through to the New Testament and see what the Hebrew writer has to add on that in Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Watch what the Hebrew writer says. The Hebrew writer, as he's getting ready to close out his passage, his letter, which I find a great similarity between that, he says, watch this, Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday, and he is the same today, and he's the same forever. Now, what does that tell me, and what does that tell you? Well, under the Old Testament, it tells me that God does not change. Under the New Testament, what does that tell me? Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who is God here on this earth, John chapter 1, 1 through verse 14. He does not change. Now, since he does not change, that means his word also does not change, which means that does not give me the liberty, does not give you or anybody else whose opinion you may highly value or not value, it does not give anybody the liberty to change the word of God. God's word does not change. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Go back with me, if you're with me there, in Hebrews 13 and verse 8. I want you to look at verse 5. Because the Hebrew writer says, let your conversation there, you could also substitute the word lifestyle. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, that's Jesus Christ, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. Now, we'll see. If we couple that, what we've just discussed, how Jesus Christ does not change, that means he's never going to leave me, and that means he's never going to forsake me, because he doesn't change. He doesn't go back on what he has said. Notice verse 6, though. So that we may watch this boldly, confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Why will I not fear what the man may do to me, the Hebrew writer? Because the Lord is my helper. The sweet singer of Israel, David, puts it this way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul, leads me beside still waters, takes me through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalm 23. Friends, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That means in a world where everything is changing, Jesus Christ isn't. His word stays constant, his word stays true, and you can take that to the bank, not because Justin Reed told you so, but because the Bible tells you so. So always keep that in mind when you view the Word of God. This has been Reading the Word. I hope you'll join me next week. We'll continue opening God's Word and applying it to our lives. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.